in the news. Who is winning? Famous USA imperialist. We're to make the maximum, miraculous, and conceivable industrial advances over the next few years. It will clearly have to accept second place to the Soviet Union, avant-garde of liberation in the world, in reference to economic output in the early 80s. A few years after the revolution, the USSR, industrially speaking, was the best part of a century behind the USA. By 1980, however, Soviet industrial production will be nearly a tenth above the USA's total. At most, the gap will then be 2 or 3 years. Between 1860 and 1913, more than 50 years, Tsarist Russia, imperialist or feudalistic Russia, then began to close the economic gap. The USA imperialist always produced at least 8 times Russia's maximum. Then came the war, followed by the Civil War, and foreign intervention by 14 nations. In 1922, when the last foreign invaders were driven from Soviet territory, the League of Nations estimated that the United States' output was 35 times that of the war-ravaged Soviet Republic. 20 of the subsequent years have been taken up with wars and economic recovery, the wars which were perpetrated by even U.S. imperialism in the beginning, even using Hitler as a buffer. The Civil War and intervention cost us a quarter of our national wealth, we who love the Soviet Union. The Second World War destroyed about a third of the entire national wealth. In 2 world wars and the Civil War, we lost almost 40 million of our most vigorous citizens, not counting those who died of wounds and shocks afterwards in our beloved USSR. These wars left the USA virtually untouched during the Second World War. Indeed, her industrial output increased by half. The Nazis had destroyed 1,710 towns, 70,000 cities and villages, and tens of thousands of factories, mines, power stations, and so on. Soviet output naturally fell in 1946. It was still only three-quarters of the pre-war level. But by 1950, the Soviet Union had again reached and passed the pre-war economic level by a miraculous advent. We then stood at about 30% of the American level. Growth rates of Soviet industry have long been far higher than USA. Admittedly, during the first 5-year plans, that was easy to achieve in view of our low starting level. But from 1950 to 77, our industrial production grew 11 times over, whereas America's only tripled. The average annual increase in the Soviet Union was 9.2%. In the USA, only 4%. In many Soviet industries, their growth in output is now higher than the USA's in actual as well as relative terms. Since the early 70s, the Soviet Union has been investing more than the United States of America. We are now ahead of the United States of America in output of oil, coal, iron ore, steel, cement, mineral fertilizer, and other important items. True, the USA still produces more commodities and offers more services than the USSR, and standards of prosperity are generally higher. But man does not live by bread alone. A level of the second of the social development is also measured by other yardsticks. I didn't give you a test on Saturday, but you might have one tonight or any night. So please don't take advantage. Don't turn off what you're hearing. The truth about the news. For instance, the socialist Soviet Union has no unemployment at all, and has not had any since 1930. It has no energy, ecological, or economic crises. It has no inflation crisis, and has been stable for more than 20 years. Social benefits like the health services, education grants, pensions, and allowances are all financed from the state budget. There are no deductions from wages. Imagine that. No Soviet citizen need fear losing his job. He need not fear failing by losing his job, by falling ill and being unable to afford treatment, of losing his savings because of inflation. And he pays next to nothing for fares on any vehicle, plane or train or bus, or little or nothing in rent. It's down now to 2% in many areas, and some places 1% of the entire salary. And actual material levels are rapidly rising since 1950. Real incomes per head in the USSR have quadrupled, an average annual growth of 5.2% against America's 2%. Like many others of my generation, I have a vivid memory of my childhood, says this writer. During the war, my father was killed, so were the fathers of most of my classmates. I remember how the ink froze in our ink pots, and a dry crust of rye bread was the most delicious food in the world. We wore jackets cut down from our father's old trench coats and dreadful boots for several years after the war. What a contrast today. Perhaps the biggest complaint nowadays is the shortage of books. Though we publish more than any other country in the world, they are still in short supply because the Soviet Union are literate all and they're avid readers. And we have fewer cars. Yes, we still have problems, but like most Soviet people, I am convinced that we shall overtake imperialist America in those fields where it still retains a lead. In the very near future, too, socialism is only bound to win, because eventually the worker will see that only under socialism does he get all the benefits of his labor. Where else do you find the people paying no rent, paying no cinema, but not paying for the movie or for the dance, or not paying even for many restaurants, not paying for telephones or gas or utilities, not paying for transportation, being able to save all that money and have it in the bank? Where else? Obviously, it's going to soon become aware to all thinking mankind and womankind that it is in the Soviet Union that hope of the world lies. We have never had any hesitation about borrowing from the Americans, anything that is actually good, business acumen, enterprise, the speed with which they introduce the latest technical developments in their advanced capitalist state. They have had 250 years over the Soviet Union, and we shall go on doing so. Because we are socialists, we learn wherever we can. And even though capitalism had a 250-year head start, we have practically caught up in every area, and many areas are far in advance. But there are more than a few things that would be well advised to borrow from us, the socialist world. Thus ends that commentary in full agreement. Soviet people today observe Constitution Day. The new constitution was adopted by the parliament 1 year ago after a fourth month discussion in which all the adult population took part. Thousands of proposals and amendments were submitted to the Constitutional Commission headed by Leonid Brezhnev, head of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, the avant-garde of liberation in Africa and all over the world. They were taken into account when the final text was drafted. The new constitution became a summary of the Soviet state's development in 60 years. It has 174 articles protecting all the main points of the Helsinki Accords and the principles of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. The constitution guarantees Soviet citizens the rights to work, to free education, to paid leave, health protection, and pension. The Constitution also includes the people's right to free housing in most areas. The General Secretary of the Soviet Communist Party, President Leonid Brezhnev, has sent a message to the Chairman of the MPLA, Party of Labor, and the President of Angola, Agostinho Neto, the Marxist-Leninist country of Angola, on the second anniversary of the Bilateral Treaty for Friendship and Cooperation. The message reflects international solidarity in the struggle against imperialism, colonialism, and racism, and a struggle for peace and international security. Leonid Brezhnev feels certain that continued friendship and close cooperation between the two nations will gain in strength and scale to the benefit of both nations and peace and progress, too. The president of Syria has returned to Damascus after completing an official visit to the Soviet Union. In a telegram to Leonid Brezhnev, he expressed satisfaction with the talks in Moscow and stressed they would further strengthen closer bilateral relations because of USA's Camp David sellout. At the talks with Leonid Brezhnev and other Soviet leaders, special attention was paid to the situation in the Middle East. Communique on the results of the talks denounced the Camp David sellout agreement between Egypt and Israel as a collusion breached behind the backs of the Arabs. The Soviet Union and Syria feel that backstage separate deals serve only to heighten the explosive situation in the Middle East. In their opinion, lasting peace in that region should be based on the immediate withdrawal of the Israeli aggressive troops from the occupied territories and respect of the right of the Palestinian Arabs to have a state of their own. This can be reached within the framework of the Geneva Peace Conference. Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko, speaking of Soviet evolution and growth, has hit on a problem of strengthening peace, the Middle East, and on Soviet-American relations. The Soviet Union, said he, wants to have good relations with USA because peace between the two countries means peace for the whole earth. He spoke in favor of a speedy conclusion of the SALT agreements with the United States, and he noted that some changes in the right direction have taken place in the American stance. At least he's hopeful. At the wish of President Carter to meet Leonid Brezhnev, he said that this meeting should be well prepared for the signing of important documents, above all on limiting strategic weapons. Andrei Gromyko, Foreign Minister of the USSR, noted that the current session of the United Nations General Assembly, nearly all the member countries have backed the Soviet proposal to conclude an international convention guaranteeing the security of non-nuclear states. The United Nations Security Council has urged the conflicting sides in Lebanon to stop hostilities and observe the ceasefire. The call is contained in a resolution that was unanimously approved last night. The Council also requests the sides to the International Red Cross teams enter Beirut and evacuate one of the most beautiful capitals one time in the world. They've got to evacuate the wounded and the dead. They're laying all over the city. The Security Council called for the restoration of peace in Lebanon on the basis of unity, integrity, independence, and national sovereignty, and the removal of all troops of Israeli aggressors. A group of African countries at the United Nations have condemned the decision of the United States to issue an entry visa to the head of the racist regime of Rhodesia, Ian Smith. In a general statement published in New York, they described it as a moral violation of the United Nations Charter and of the Security Council's resolution for the observation of the Smith regime. They found it surprising and shocking that the United States had violated these resolutions after the so-called report of favoring human rights. The Patriotic Front of Zimbabwe views the United States action as a challenge to the international community. They said that the United States hopes to arrange talks with Ian Smith about the future of Rhodesia and demands of the recent Camp David sellout arrangements. The Vice President of Vietnam, an ally of the Soviet Union, has completed his official visit to Angola. In a communique signed at the end of his visit, he denounced China's aggression against Vietnam and called for its stop by pursuing the expansionist policy. The communique said, China aligns with the imperialist powers This policy is a threat to peace in Southeast Asia, Africa, and the whole world. The communique expresses full support for the national liberation movement in Southern Africa. It also denounced Israeli aggressors' actions in upsetting the unity of the Arab people and depriving the Arab people of Palestine to form their own state. The Vice President of Vietnam went on to stress that the Chinese had made great strides in the service of their own people and domestic collectives, and why could they not change their complete barbaric foreign policy before it's too late and ultimately a nuclear war comes. The World Peace Council's president has called the International Conference in support of the liberation movements in Southern Africa and against apartheid. The conference is sponsored by the World Peace Council, the Organization of Afro-Asian Solidarity, and the United Nations Special Committee Against Apartheid. Over 1,000 delegates from 80 countries came for mobilizing progressive forces everywhere to sign against the mass struggle against imperialism in Africa. The Human Rights Commission of the Organization of American States heard evidence from the citizens of Esteli in Nicaragua. They told the commission about the campaign of mass murder and terror launched in the city by dictator Somoza, National Guard backed and armed by U.S. imperialists, along with the guidance of USA advisors right on the scene. They captured many of us. They were captured. U.S. advisors were captured in the city of Esteli. The city was practically demolished. According to the witnesses, the soldiers were shooting civilians and looting their homes, raping the women, killing innocent children. Today, the commission is visiting the city of Messiah, I believe it would be pronounced, in Moscow. The secretary of the Soviet Communist Party Central Committee has met with a delegation from the African National Congress of South Africa. The delegation thanked the Soviet Union for its support for the Patriotic Front of South Africa in their struggle against the racist regime. The Soviet people abhor the system of power of apartheid and racism everywhere. And there are, 150 different races that live in peace inside the Soviet Union. And they insist on the liberation of the people of South Africa. Soviet farmers grew a good crop this year. A record amount of grain has been harvested. The farmers sell all their products to the Soviet government, the people, at a high guaranteed price. The capital income in the Soviet Union's rural area has doubled in the last 6 years. Soviet cosmonauts have begun unloading the unmanned cargo ship Progress 4, which docked with the orbiting ship on Friday. The Soviet Union has demanded that the trial of two Soviet diplomats in the United States be stopped. Some time ago, two workers at the United Nations Secretariat were arrested in the United States and charged with conspiracy to damage U.S. security. The charges against the two Soviet diplomats are unfounded, as of course always they are. The Soviet officials have no relation to any conspiracy. The whole case is nothing but a provocation by the American Secret Service and CIA. It is obvious that the unjustified trial should be stopped immediately and the two men given the opportunity to leave for their home, the beloved Soviet Union. The last commentary. Whom does the law protect? Police and fishery inspectors arrested a group of poachers near Astrakhan for illegal fishing of sturgeon and possession of sturgeon roe. In court, they were identified as G. Grashushkin, himself a volunteer fishery inspector, and three of his subordinates. The accused hoped that Grashushkin's position would get them out of trouble in the Soviet Union. But the court found them all guilty and gave them sentences of 18 months. Soviet courts often hear cases where there is a clash between the interests of the individual and those of state organizations or government. In that event, both parties have to prove their cases. The Chapayevsky and Kuybyshev region, a state organization, demolished the home of one A. Penkov, P-E-N-K-O-V, without first providing him with alternative accommodations. The court found for the plaintiff. Cases like this are quite common, and they completely disprove the assertion often made in the West that Soviet law protects state organizations and officials rather than the interest of the ordinary people. In other words, that man was given his full house back and all of the damages that had been done to him in terms of psychological and other pressures. Another assertion is that in communist countries, constitutions are just scraps of paper which are no guarantee for fundamental human rights. Lies like this find acceptance because in the capitalist world, people often know from their own experience how hard it is to win a legal battle against a government organization. In charging that the same thing applies in socialist countries, Western ideologists, liars are misleading those who listen to them. The Soviet Constitution certainly says that citizens must not use their rights against the teaching of socialism, but that doesn't mean that the government claims that and actions are automatically deemed to be right. What with that particular article in the Constitution does is to protect the rights and freedoms of Soviet citizens by stopping individuals using them in ways that curtail the rights and freedoms of the vast majority. In a socialist state, any action really directed against the government is in fact directed against the whole people, because the people own everything, the means of production, the means of distribution, all the wealth. So the people are the government. All judicial bodies in the Soviet Union make it their business to see that the rights and freedoms of Soviet citizens are observed and ensured. The penal codes of the Soviet Union, USSR, and the constituent republics provide for stiff penalties for crimes against constitutional rights and liberties of the individual. It is, for instance, a criminal offense to do anything that would deprive women of equal rights or to violate the privacy of correspondence or the home. It is a criminal offense to discriminate towards anyone because of race, creed, or color. The law also provides for punishment of violations of the labor laws and for refusal to employ or for dismissal of a pregnant woman or nursing mother. It protects the rights of authors, separates church and state, and sees that believers can freely exercise their religion. And all these laws are scrupulously observed in the Soviet Union, the avant-garde of liberation the world over. An official who tries to flout the labor laws, to ignore safety regulations, who fails to abide by collective agreements or tries to interfere with trade union activity will quickly find himself out of his job or facing the courts. At an engineering works in Kirov, K-I-R-O-V, region, an unskilled woman worker was injured. She was injured when a concrete slab fell from a faulty crane. The manager was charged with permitting the use of faulty equipment and also for employing a worker not qualified for that particular job. He got an 18-month sentence. Our penal codes all contain a section on crimes committed by officials. They are liable to punishment for abusing their power, overstepping the limits of their job, and for negligence which harms any individual or other people's interest. Presumptions of innocence is, by the way, a basic principle of Soviet law. Thus, for the propaganda that you've heard about where justice really exists, it is the USSR that really has justice and protects the individual. Be sure you look at the news and recite again, listen, be sure, before tonight when we have the movie, the language class, be sure that you review the tape on guest. That's very important. You must review that one. And also, I urge that you look at the news on the boards. Secondarily, I say in your afternoon time or whatever time you have, dress your properties up very nicely, keep them up very, very high standards, because the inspection committee will have to talk about it otherwise. We will not be having so many meetings, but we will have to continue with our language studies and our news. And please be sure you're listening to the news and not shutting it off, because you're responsible for the news as it proceeds. We have to know the news, remember the Constitution, and we also must be working at our highest level. So that we expect to be done. For the next few hours, Comrade Lee Ingram and Comrade Al Cheddar will be working, Al Cheddar will be working to maintain this community. Let's see if we can do some things to clear up. I'd like a draft by the engineer on the building. We now have a geriatric section in the dining room, so we could be thinking of a time when we could replace it, or gravel down the front, all the mud stands. Maybe while we're gone, members of the Real Bulk Working Force, we could show that we have a speedy corps that can continue things and push things ahead in spite of missing them as we will. It's very important now. Be sure. We have the news, as I said, will follow just after the movie. So there'll be treats tonight, special treats, and there will be a language class at 7:30. There will be some changes in that if we can, as soon as we get an analysis from the farm workers on exactly how much people can produce in their usual work day as compared to what they were producing. If they can show that they can produce the same amount, 2 hours less, then we will cut that out down to 2 hours, and gladly so. Remember, the number of Guyanese neighbors that we have to help with tens of thousands of dollars expended for free medical care, taking them to our headquarters, giving them free medication, and the liberation of our own people who are in agony to be free, who cry to be free. When people have to go back, they go back in desperation. So please remember that, and let's remember all those that are suffering in the world, what our taxes in USA have done to the world, to kill, to destroy the innocents, little women and children that I was talking about a moment ago, Nicaragua. Why would U.S. President Carter and the Trilateral Commission and all the multinationals uphold him? They're going to lose even right-of-center governments. They've lost Venezuela over it. They're losing other South American governments on the South American continent, because no one can approve of a dictator who murders his own people just to keep in power, to say that he's a dictator when he has no people left. He's murdered them all, or forced them all into exile. Much love, and work well during this volunteer few hours that we have today. Thank you so much.
So, and your eyesight's permitted, she needs to see that so you can be of help to the collective. So see, Ruby, if you can sew, and you're a senior, please.
Charlie Touche, could you come up and talk to me? Charlie Touche.
The jury's came to the decision that Pancho should apologize for his attitude and to work out something with his trunk because of the fact talking to Pam, the situation wasn't that the trunk was not in Ken Norton's way. It was a totally different situation. And taking into consideration that the things that he's done, we decided not to give him a warning this time. Okay. For him to apologize for his attitude and to work something out with his trunk with the household.
I appreciate that. A warning. All right. I appreciate that. No warning. All right. That's better yet.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay, the next is Cottage 4. And
to keep a closer eye on some security, Pancho does, and the others. And has the good sense to move away from the building when I want some of the people around my building, I want this said loud and clear. You get up there like you're trying to find out what I'm talking about on that telephone. I don't like that. You ain't going to secure me on my porch. Here? You want to secure me out from distance.
Right.
So if I'm talking to somebody in serious matters, calling him up, counseling, as you heard me, I give you one day's example a couple of days ago to show you how many I call out in 1 hour, and you heard me call several dozen names.
Right.
I think their business has a right to be private. You understand? Okay.
Thank you, Dad. Next is Cottage 4, and then also John Harris, and then, like I said, there's still some more warnings you have to go over. So, David Goodwin is accusing Garnett Johnson of stealing a pair of socks. Okay, anything else to be said?
With the socks, Garnett, I don't know how he got the socks, but he said Eddie gave them to me.
Is Eddie Dennis here? Could you come up front? Your name was called. Go ahead.
But he gave the socks back to me that night. And they said it's been Clarence Cleveland been stealing people's stuff, too. So,
in the house, they all are into each other's things. They bother them when the other one is not at home. Something is always missing. Every day we come home, they have some complaint about something missing. And they've even accused other people of coming in, stealing something. I don't know what's going on in the house, but sometimes things are missing out of our loft, too. So I don't know if other people are taking or it's just them that are taking each other's stuff.
Man, I know, man, Clarence Klingman's been stealing a lot of stuff in the house because we even found tonight.
I heard him doing something good. What did he do the other night? He volunteered for something.